I really want to just encourage us to pray for Jim and Nancy as they go forward in this process. And as Bill said, there are a number of things to do, and we'll say more about that next week and just kind of let you know what's going to unfold over the next number of weeks. But this is still really a time of discernment for Jim and Nancy, for us as a congregation. And we want to be just thinking about you and lifting you up in this time and really encouraged by this. And I want to say thanks, first, just to everyone who participated and gave really good feedback that's helpful for this. Even for those who did not cross the 50% threshold, that feedback gets utilized just for conversations with those people. And so thank you so much. And then also to three people who were responsible for actually counting the forms and assembling the feedback, and that's Mary Vinecor and Charlie Bryan and Casey Eager. We really appreciate their efforts. Especially Mary was the one who did the assembling of all the feedback, and that was something of a chore, and we really appreciate that effort. So thank you to the three of you. And it's good to be back today. We always love it when we are gone and get to come back and be with our church family. It was a wild 8 days. We covered a lot of ground, and it was just everything lightning speed. In fact, we had a couple of people say, oh, you know, if I'd known you were going to be there, I would have connected you with so-and-so. We did not have time for that. No. It was in, hit it, out, right? All these colleges we were seeing, we saw 5 colleges in that time, 4,400 miles, no touristy things whatsoever. But you know what? We had a lot of fun, and our kids are great travelers, got to outrun tornadoes, and just wonderful stuff. It is good to be back. Turn in your Bibles to 1 John Chapter 2. We've been in 1 John for a couple weeks so far. This is our third week. And this is a point where we need to say why 1 John was originally written. And the reason was, there has been a church split. Could be a split within a single congregation, or perhaps something that divided a whole number of congregations in a certain area. But whatever the case, it's been pretty significant. People have left because of a major disagreement about Christian belief. And so many church splits that we see in our own time have been just about trivial things. Sometimes just really petty personality conflicts. But the church split that 1 John is about is not about something trivial. It is a really big issue of Christian belief. So we're going to begin 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Hear the word of the Lord. Children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is a promise that he made to us, eternal life. I write these things to you about those who were trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. Can you imagine the first Sunday gathering after the split? The moment when people look around at who has assembled, and they see how much smaller the group is than the previous Sunday, and the situation starts to sink in. So many people gone. One person gone who had had so much influence, who was this valued, respected member, gone. One family that had a place in the hearts of so many, and to think of never being with them again, never having their kids around. So many people gone. So many relationships broken. And this is the church's new reality. Was it worth it? They can't help but feel pathetic about it. A few of the ones who had left said to those who were remaining, you know, you don't really get it. And if you would just listen to some good teaching, you might understand why this matters to us. You're stubborn. Maybe they're right. Maybe we just don't understand. And the evidence in 1 John is that you have a church that is demoralized. They don't feel great about themselves. And it's why this passage builds them up in so many ways. Verse 20 and verse 27, it said, you have an anointing by the Holy One being Jesus. You are anointed people, and the Holy Spirit is part of that anointing. You have the Holy Spirit. Verse 21, you know the truth. That's such a big statement. In places like verse 24, reaffirming that they abide in the Father and in the Son. That is, that they share in the life of God Himself. Verse 27, you do not need to be taught. You have these other people who are saying that you'd be better Christians if you would just listen to their teaching. You know what the apostles taught. You don't need someone else to reteach you. And over, it's trying to restore their sense of who they are in Christ. There was a soccer referee in Europe, an Italian named Pier Luigi Collina. And he was really recognizable when you saw him reffing a game because he had this shaved head and these incredible piercing eyes. He was a terrific referee. He's retired now. Always kept control of his matches, didn't make bad calls. You could tell he had a sense of humor about him as well. And so he was so good. He won many major awards for referees. But perhaps the biggest compliment he ever received came in the form of an insult. And it was a point where there was this investigation into corruption in soccer in Europe. And some emails from one of the big European teams came to light. And one of the guys who ran this big team, he was a higher-up executive. It was an email from him, and he was telling what a horrible referee Collina was because he didn't show their team favoritism. And they were an important team, a big team, and he was wrong for not playing favorites with them. And when that email came to light, it only helped Kalina's reputation as a referee. Part of the passage is saying to these Christians, they left you and they insulted you. But that just highlights how you are sticking with the truth. Don't let it get you down. The basic issue in the church split is this. The ones who left say that Jesus is not the Christ. Okay, so they've split the two. The Christ is the Son of God, God himself, one who is over the universe. But that is not this flesh and blood human being who is named Jesus, the one who was crucified. Now, unfortunately, we don't know their full explanation for all this. It would be really interesting. But the gist would be one of two options. Either that Christ took over Jesus' body for a time, kind of occupied him. And that's one possibility. The other one, perhaps more likely, is that Christ came to earth and may have looked like a real human being, but he was actually just a spirit who walked the earth. He certainly did not experience crucifixion. Okay, and why would they feel that way? Well, one, God would not mingle too closely with this world. That would be disgusting for God. He's too good for that. But also, God would not suffer. God just wouldn't do that. My hunch is that some people will be at least a little bothered when 1 John calls these people who left antichrists. Verse 18. Sounds a little over the top. Not very nice, to say the least. It's getting us to think. Because what's being said is, you've heard of antichrist, this deceptive figure who comes and wows everyone and excites people, but he's undermining God. You've heard of antichrist. And it's saying, on a practical level, these people who left are antichrists. They are taking an essential truth about Christ our Lord and who he was, that he and the human Jesus are the same, and they're saying, that's not true. And taking that position is opposed to Christ, not just something that Christ taught, but who Christ was. It's obvious that this became a burning issue for the church early on and was a big issue for quite a while. And so we see it in strong statements from church leaders who came after the apostles. Ignatius was a church leader in Antioch, where Barnabas and Paul had been. Church tradition says that Ignatius learned at the feet of John the Apostle. And in roughly 105 A.D., Ignatius said, continue in intimate communion with Jesus Christ, our God. He says pointedly there that Jesus is God. Justin Martyr, who did much to defend Christianity against attacks from pagans, who also, as his name indicates, died for the faith eventually, around 160 AD, he said, talking about Jesus, deserves to be worshipped as God and as Christ. Irenaeus, around 180 AD, says, Christ himself, therefore, together with the Father, is the God of the living who spoke to Moses. When we see all the statements, it becomes clear that this belief that Jesus is the Christ and Christ is the Son of God and God himself, That was critical to the faith of early Christians. Does it still matter to us? Is it still important? Christian belief has two views that we hold together, even though when we see them both together, it may look hard. First belief is God and humans are utterly different. It's true. Humans were made in the very image of God. But what this is saying is that there is a temptation to think that God is kind of a bigger, better, more powerful version of ourselves. And that is not true. God does not think as human thinks. As humans think. He does not act as humans act. He is beyond our comprehension. Second one is that Jesus was fully God and fully human. And the problem is that you put these two together and it looks like a contradiction. Because we're saying God is not human, and yet Jesus was both. Fully God, fully human. Let's just admit, that is challenging. But from the beginning, Christians believed that these two views were essential to the faith that they proclaimed. Every now and then, there's a poll of Americans that tries to measure religious belief, kind of take a temperature of the culture. One of the questions that commonly is asked in those kinds of polls is, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? And still, overwhelmingly, Americans say, yes, we believe Jesus, Son of God. Not as much as was in the past, but we're still close to two-thirds of Americans respond yes to that statement. But the few times that a poll will dig a little bit deeper with that and do some probing, things look different. If it gets specific and says something to the effect of, do you believe that Jesus was God himself, God of the universe in human flesh, then the numbers drop way off. So many who said, yes, I believe that Jesus is Son of God, now say, no, I don't believe that he is fully God. And we have got a problem at that point. That's essential to what it means that Jesus is the Son of God. Churches today are wrestling with so many issues, aren't they? Just generally, how does the church relate to the culture around it? Big question. But more specifically, some of the things that we hear in the news, questions about gender and what gender is, questions about homosexuality. Sometimes very specific questions, having to do with things like medical ethics, right? And what's a Christian belief about specific issues within that area? Questions about what's the role of women in the local congregation? Big disputes about how much God controls events in the world and specifically in our individual lives. In level of importance, those issues are far below what we are talking about today. That Jesus is in all ways the Christ, the Son of God. And understand, we're not saying that those other issues don't really matter. Not saying that. They're important. But the issue in 1 John 2 is at the very center of Christian faith. And if you lose it, you get that wrong, everything starts to unravel. And just speaking personally, I've been involved in a couple of situations where people got really twisted up about minor issues, but acted like Jesus being fully God, God dwelling in human flesh, like, that's all right. It's not a big deal if we disagree about that. That's a big problem. Big problem. Now we stop at this point and say, salvation is not getting a whole long list of beliefs just right, like we're preparing for some kind of exam or something. Right? Our salvation is not based on that. But the reason this particular belief about Jesus Christ matters is because it goes to whether or not Jesus can even make a difference in our lives. It's hard. It is really hard to get past the suspicion that Jesus did not experience life like what we experience, like how we experience life. He wasn't really human in the way that we are human because, you know, we know all our faults and that we're weak and we sin and we have doubts and questions, right? And so there's always this suspicion. But I want to say that there's something ironic about that suspicion. I mean, it's based upon the understanding that God is powerful. You know, God is the one who created the cosmos, and he brought life into existence on this planet. And he parted the waters of the Red Sea and led Israel safely through. He is mighty. He is awesome. But God is not powerful enough to really experience what it's like to be us. That's what we're saying with that suspicion. And that's not right. Someone says, yeah, but how can it be that Jesus can be fully God and fully human? It just doesn't make sense. And the answer to that is easy. No, it's not. Did you think I was going to finish that thought? No, it is not easy. I don't get it. None of us are going to get that by the time we die. It's a mystery. How did God and humanity dwell in the one person of Jesus? I don't get it. But that is what Scripture tells us. I think sometimes Christianity today is portrayed stodgy. You know, this kind of old tradition thing. But I want to say, because of what we are talking about today, it reminds us Christianity is not stodgy. Because at the very heart of our faith is this radical, wild belief that God dwelt in human flesh. And that God saved us through the God-man, Jesus Christ. That is a radical notion. If Jesus offers us any help at all, it is because he stood in our weakness. He stood in the full experience of being human. And he walked this earth. And he lived a life to show us how to live. Not as one who says, oh, you know, I'm gonna do my thing, but if you even try to imitate me, you're wasting your time because you're never going to get it. He didn't say that. Jesus said, my yoke is and my burden is light, and I want you to come follow me. And Christians over centuries have done just that, and they've messed up. They've failed badly, they've sinned miserably, and yet they have found the grace and redemption and the strength through the Holy Spirit to keep on going. And they found that their lives were changed by what Jesus was doing in them. Believing that Jesus was leading them into something rich and full. In the last several years, I've gotten to hear Landon Saunders speak a few times, one time on podcast and then a couple times in person. And when I was a teenager, I remember Landon Saunders being something of a big name in Churches of Christ. And then for a long time, didn't hear much about him. And just recently, he's been popping up here and there. Landon, as a young man, was a minister, fairly conventional, congregational ministry. Then eventually he started an independent ministry that was really geared to reach out to people who would never step through the door of a church building. Interesting to hear him talk about the responses to that ministry and letters he would get from just all walks of life, people in prison and college and executives at large corporations, all these people who were hungry and searching. Today, Landon is 79 years old, which is hard to believe. When he was a young man in ministry, he had a crisis of faith that he would later describe as hell. And it's just like he hit a wall and nothing made sense. And all the things that he'd believed, he couldn't believe anymore. Couldn't believe the virgin birth. Couldn't believe in the actual resurrection of Jesus. And so he's in this position where for him there's no equilibrium, there's no sense of up and down, life is chaos. And it wasn't that he had anything that he could just simply slide into to replace his Christian beliefs. He's just in this nothing place. He would describe it as night. And the night for him was very dark. One of the reasons I love listening to Landon, even today, is he is a struggler. And he's willing to be vulnerable about his struggles. And we need that, don't we? We need people who will be vulnerable in that way. Eventually, Landon came to a point where he said this. He said, I can't just make myself believe those things that I'm struggling to believe. I can't do that. I am going to do one thing. I am going to do things that Jesus did. And specifically, I am going to love people that Jesus loved. And what he meant by that especially was hurt, lonely, lost, broken people. And so that's what he started to do, was to love those people. And it was by doing that, by doing that one thing, that his faith came back, and that he could believe again. And of course, we say that, and yet we know it's not going to be the same faith, right? I mean, change has happened. You see the world differently. You understand God differently. But it was because Landon could follow the man Jesus and imitate him that brought him again to a point where he could worship Christ, the Son of God. It's such a beautiful world that God made for us. This world that he gave us to enjoy. But because of sin, it is such a hurt world that we live in. A shattered world. One where so many people every day get lost. John and the other apostles left us testimony. You know, they say to us, we know Jesus was human because we saw him get tired and sleep and get hungry and eat and do all of the things that humans would do. And we also know that he was the Son of God. And they leave us this testimony that this is the Christ we're talking about, the Messiah, who is worth following. Well, I want to ask you something today for you to think on. And I'd encourage you just for a moment just to think about, what are you dealing with in your life right now? Challenges, obstacles, places of uncertainty, maybe even fear. What are you dealing with in your life? And the first question I want to ask is, do you struggle to believe that the Son of God was really human and that he understands you, where you are? Do you believe that he can be a friend to you where you are, or do you see him as somehow above and beyond that? Also, do you believe that the man Jesus who lived on this earth has the power to really change your life? And maybe when you look at those two questions, you see them and you say, yeah, I'm struggling to believe at least one of those things. Maybe both of them, or maybe you believe them sort of, but you're feeling like your faith is weak. What I would just ask is, would you talk to me today after services or this week, would you talk to one of the elders? Call one of us on the phone or whatever you need to do, just so that we can encourage you, pray for you, help you. Would you do that? Let's pray together. Jesus, you know our every weakness, and you know our struggles. And we call you Lord. We call you friend. And call upon your assistance where we are in the very real struggles of our lives. And wherever we are, just show us how to follow you. Right where we are. Just how to take the next steps in faith. And for those especially who are struggling to believe that you are with them, that you have the power to change their lives, we just plead on their behalf this morning that they would find encouragement and help, that they would be able to turn towards you in faith. Jesus, be with us at all times. We thank you. Amen.